Amen. What a beautiful song. Especially I love the one, Give Me Jesus, every time. I hear it and like, oh. So today I will be filling in for Pastor Nick, and basically the children's sermon and the title, perhaps if it's up there, gives up the sermon, but it's about choosing and choosing life. If you pay attention to the readings, they were very important for the sermon as well. If not, you can read it later on at your homes. And I will be reading Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. So it reads as follows. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. And I don't know about you, but perhaps you have done this, or it has been done to you, that whenever you left your home for the first time, or perhaps your children left home for the first time, you sat them before you and you start giving them all kinds of advice. For me, the first time I went to Bible school, my parents sat me down, and it was in a foreign land, the U.S., and I live at the border, so basically, yeah. And they sat me down. It was funny because my dad, he is normally very, you know, easygoing in that regard, but he sat me down and looks on, and he was very serious. Be careful of, and I will not go through all the details. And then when that finished, my mom, you're leaving now. What am I going to do? Be careful of many, many, many other things. So it was good. It was funny at the moment because, to be honest, I thought, oh, hey, I'm old enough. I know these kind of things. But whenever I was there, it was about 6 hours from where I lived in Dallas. When I was there, I started looking at some of the things and I'm remembering that they told me. And I'm like, oh, that's true. Be careful of people like that behave like this. Oh, that's true. Be careful of that. And it started making sense. And some of the advice that they gave me, I took it to my heart and I follow it. And as you can tell, some others, I didn't. And then I had consequences as well. But in this case, as we're reading the Word of God in Deuteronomy, this is Moses speaking to the people of Israel just before they will enter the promised land that they were walking for miles and years. Just before entering, he's preaching and basically giving advice to them. The book of Deuteronomy means Deutero, two, Nomos, laws. Two laws, basically. Two laws. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, you know, as in a normal speed, it will take you about 3 hours to go through the whole book. And this is Moses giving advice to the Israelites. So the whole book is about Moses telling them about the laws, about the commandments, about all the things that they should take care of, about the things that they should do. And it's very interesting, to be honest. If you have a time, 3 hours, just go through it. It's very interesting. And this is Moses speaking. It normally takes 3 hours. For Moses, most likely took about 5 hours of advice for the people of Israel before he left basically to be with God. Don't worry, this time I will not take 3 hours, 5 hours. It will be very short, just 1 hour. No, way less than that, don't worry. I have my cell phone in here. I'm like, Barbara, I need to have my cell phone with the time. So yeah, I have my cell phone. It will be very, very short. But what I want to tell you, it's about this. This is Moses speaking his last sermon. And what he sees as the most important thing to do is to remind the Israelites and to remind as well the people of God to choose life. If you are faced with that conundrum to either choose life or death, most likely, I can assure you that most likely most of us will go and choose life. And I have in here, as you can tell, 2 chairs, right? Most likely if you get to decide, okay, if you sit in that chair, you will die. But if you sit in this one, you will live. Most of us will very comfortable sitting here and just, yes, I decide and I choose life. I choose to be with God. I choose to follow His commandments. However, the way that we behave sometimes, it is as if we want to keep switching chairs. I choose life, but I sit on the chair of death. But I remember I need to choose life, so I go to the other chair. Yes, and I want to follow God. I want to love my neighbor. I want to fulfill His commandments. But when the neighbor tells me something that I don't like, or when they behave in a very rude way, I don't love them anymore. And it is as if we are trying to sit in 2 chairs at the same time. It is, as in this example, impossible for me to right now sit in both chairs at the same time. It is impossible for me to walk on one path and continue walking and then turn back and walk on a different direction. Sometimes, whenever we are faced with that designation, we don't choose life. We behave in a different way. We have a different reaction. And there is a very interesting quote. This is, and I want to read it. This is Saint Augustine. He lived about, if I'm not mistaken, around the 300s, more or less. And he was one of the most influential people in Christianity. And the way that he recalls his conversion, it is as follows. In the early days of his struggle towards the truth, Augustine made a prayer. Lord, save me from my sins, but not quite yet. Then, sometime after that, he prayed, Lord, save me from all my sins, except one. And then came the final prayer. Lord, save me from all my sins and save me now. It was when he made that final decision against evil that the victory was his. There is no joy and strength, and for that matter, no peace like that which visits the soul which has taken an unconquerable resolve against that which is evil. What it means that sometimes we come before God and we ask, God, save me. In other words, God, I choose life. But this little sin that I have next to me, I don't want to leave it behind. This thing that I'm not doing correct, that I'm not doing right, I don't want to change right now. And what it means in reality, we are trying to choose life, but we're walking away that direction. We're sitting in the curses and in the destruction. Whenever we say, God, save me, but not right now, you know, right now it feels so good to do what I'm doing that it's not correct. Save me. But later on, we think that we are choosing life, but we're walking on a different direction. We're going on the opposite direction. And I preach that to you, and I'm preaching that to myself as well. Just before, and I share a little bit about this with the Sunday Bible class, just before I was preparing for this and for this Sunday, I needed to do something for this Sunday. And I was preparing the sermon, and I was reading, and I was choose life and what means that I will follow to choose life. And I was like, yes, to follow God's commandments. And God had commanded me to do something for this Sunday. And what I did in my head, I was like, yeah, but that can wait. You know, there's always another Sunday for me. And I wanted to wait for another Sunday, but God clearly spoke to me and said, no, right now you need to do this. You're about to preach about following the right thing and you want to do something differently? What's going on with that? And by me sharing this, I want to tell you how sneaky can be that while we think we're choosing life, we're walking on a different direction. Our actions should be aligned to the direction that we're going. And what it means to choose life, what it means, because we are at this moment talking about choosing life, about, you know, living for God. In the book of Deuteronomy, that it's about, 34 more or less, in that book, Moses lays down every single commandment that the Israelites have to do. All the little things, all the little laws, the Ten Commandments, everything that they have to do. And in that way, they will be choosing life. And there is one, and let me read it, one part that it's in 28. And it reads as follows: blessings for obedience. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, and both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. And it continues and continues. All the blessings. However, when you don't follow God's commandments, it goes warnings against disobedience. But if you will not obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments and decrees, which I am commanding you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And it continues. So what it means, do we need then to go to the Old Testament, open the book of Deuteronomy, and follow every single rule? Thankfully, this question was asked to Jesus in the New Testament by someone saying, Lord, can you summarize all the commandments and everything in a very simple way? And yes, he did, Jesus. Love your God with all your strength, with all of who you are, your soul, your mind, with everything that you are. Love your God and love your neighbor. And love your neighbor. For me, as I mentioned in the name of the book Deuteronomy, the two laws, and how Jesus then summarized these two laws, to love God and to love others. Sometimes, again, as I mentioned before, we try to go and choose life and go and sit in that chair that it's life, but our actions say otherwise. Our actions behave in a different direction, as if we're running away from him instead of following him. By no loving God, whenever he commands us to do something, whenever he says, go and talk to that person because I want to bless that person. And sometimes, and I speak of myself, we may be too shy to go and we are disobeying. What about when God tells you, go and give to that person this? What about when God tells you, go and give to the poor? Go and give yourself as well. And when we disobey, what it means? Are we walking in that direction? Sitting on that chair or going on the opposite direction. As I mentioned before, this advice from Moses, it was to the Israelites before entering the promised land. As we know, if we have read the Bible, the Israelites entered the promised land and lived in there. And then they followed God's commandments. And then it came King David, that at that time, it was the greatest kingdom around that area. And they were following God. But then something happened. The kingdom, and I will not get into so much history, the kingdom got divided. One fraction and another fraction. One of them decided not to follow God anymore. and decided to worship foreign idols and to give offerings to those foreign idols, and they were annihilated. They didn't exist anymore. They were conquered, assimilated into other nations, and they were annihilated. And that begs the question as well, what is my foreign God right now? What are we worshiping right now that it's not God? And how can you answer that? What takes the number one position in your life that it's taking God out of that one position and putting him in a second position? The second group, the second kingdom of Israel, they were divided, and then they were taken into captivity to Babylon. And during that captivity, it is said that they encountered the book of Deuteronomy. And that also helps us, because at that time they realized that they have failed, that they did not follow God, that they have not followed his commandments, and they have not obeyed him. They have not choose life. Instead, they behave in a different way. They choose foreign idols. They choose following their own desires, their own flesh. And what happened? They were taken into captivity. So in here, the good news then come about. The good news that what happens if up until this moment, I have not choose life. I have sat in the other chair. I have followed another direction, another way, another path. What happens now? And those people who like to read and study the Bible a lot, they say that the book of Deuteronomy, also in its final form, it is a reflection of the people of Israel during the exile. When they were taken out of Jerusalem during the exile, they grabbed the book, they read the book, and they realize that they have followed no God, but other gods. They have not followed God's direction. And it's very, for me, that's the most important part of this. Because all of us, we want to choose life. We want to follow God. But what happens when we fail? What happens when perhaps we didn't pay attention, or perhaps our pride, our flesh, our desires took over us? What happens? With God, there's always a second chance. There's always a second opportunity. It is even better that in Deuteronomy, Moses repeatedly used the word today. Today is the day. Today is the moment. Today, today. And it emphasized that it's always today. It was not yesterday when you had to choose. It is today. So when the people of God, the Israelites, when they were in exile, when they realized that they had failed, that they have not followed God's commandments, and they read the book of Deuteronomy, and then they reached that part that it says, today is the day. Today is the time when you need to decide. Today is the day. And for all of us, I extend as well that today is the day. If we have failed, if we have not followed God's words or commandments, if we have not done what is right before his eyes, today is the day. It shouldn't be a matter of perhaps embarrassment or a matter of, I don't want to move. I don't know what other people will think about me. It doesn't matter. It is your decision. You need to decide whether or not you want to choose life or choose destruction. Or choose death. Today is the day. And it is important, if we go back to the history, that when the Israelites realized that they still had the opportunity to choose life, and they did, what happened to them? During the exile, thankfully we can say the post-exile, what does that mean? Is that they, from Babylon, returned back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city. And they were prosperous again. So what it means for us. Moses concludes the whole sermon, the whole advice, by saying something. Today is the day. And he says, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you may live and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many, many years. The same call, the same thing, it's offered to each one of us. It is not a matter of communal decision, but rather of personal decision. Each one of us. What are we going to decide? And by deciding, it is not as simply as just thinking, oh, perhaps I will do it. I will try it. No, it is of life and death. What do you decide? And your decision should be reflected in your actions as well. Choose life. So all the blessings, and as I was coming today, I was talking with Barbara. I'm sorry for her. She's always my wall to bounce back my ideas, because I was telling Barbara, you know that on the blessings and the curses, and she was like, oh, what is he going to talk to me now? Yeah, because every time it's something different. Yeah, and you know that on the blessings, it says that they will overtake you, that you will not be able to realize what's going on, and all these blessings are overtaking you because you decided to follow God. Isn't that amazing? She was like, yeah, but you know, be careful, because yeah, I don't know what else he's going to say. But basically it was that. As I was reading on the blessings, it is not everything like gloomy, like, oh, dead life. But also the good part, it's really good. Whenever we decide to follow God and to choose life, it's not as stationary as, yeah, I choose life. No, instead, it says you will be blessed whenever you come in, whenever you come out, in your basket, in your barns, in your everything. You will be blessed. And these blessings will overtake you, will reach you. Even if you try to run from these blessings, they will get you. So it's beautiful whenever we decide to choose God and to choose life, how God promises are true, and he promised to bless us abundantly. It is not like a drop by drop, but abundantly. So I encourage each one of you that you decide today to follow him, that your actions are as well aligned with your decision, because you can say, I choose life, and then walk on the other direction. And repeat the same, I choose life, but you are walking in a different direction. Instead, that your words and your actions get aligned with the word of God, and that you decide to follow him. And then the question comes, how can I follow him? Thank you so much for asking. I like this. How can you follow God? The first thing, it's go and read. Go to the Bible. As we were saying in the Sunday Bible class, we were talking about many, many things. You really will enjoy it if you come. You will enjoy it. And we were talking, how is the best way to get to know God? Go to the Bible. Go to read the Bible, read the Gospels, read the most amazing story ever told. Go and read it. Follow what his advice, Jesus' advice to the disciples. Go and follow that. And if you have questions, you can come to Pastor Nick, to myself, to other deacons, or to other people of faith and maturity, and just ask, what are you doing that I'm not doing? How can I better follow God and better follow that life that the guy in front was talking? And if you want to start right now, as of right now, as I mentioned before, Jesus summarized everything. Love your God with everything that you have. Your mind, soul, spirit, with everything that you have. Love God. And what it means to love God? It's to do something, as I remember the definition of love, do something for someone without expecting that someone to do something for you. Basically, just follow his commandments without perhaps expecting anything from him. But because he loves you, he will do not only one or two things, but he will bless you abundantly. In the same way, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And not only the neighbor that is sitting next to you right now, but the one that lives next to you, the one that works next to you, the one that you don't like that lives across of you. Everyone, love everyone. The Bible says that they will know that we are Christians by our love, not by our theology, how we look, if we have a big Bible or a small Bible, but by the love that we share with each other. So once again, I encourage you to choose life, to walk the life path, to walk the way that leads to God. choose life and follow his commandments. And as we read at the beginning, I want to end with this, with Psalm 1, that it reads as follows. I entitled the two ways. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So remember, it is your decision to either follow God or not follow him, to either choose life or not. And that decision, as Moses said, it is today. Today is the time. Amen.